Chapter 69. The Unity of Four. We met at the club at 10 o'clock sharp. Marjorie was already there with Sally, who was looking abashed, as always, when Harriet and I went upstairs, and before we could speak, Dulcie came in. She had a simple yellow dress on, tied around her slender waist, a long saffron cloak, and a thin-brimmed velvet hat, jauntily held in place by a ribbon under her chin. "Dulcie, you look stunning," I told her to general agreement. "Wait until you see my accessory." Dulcie's eyes twinkled as she brought a neat yellow-handled pistol out of her matching handbag. "Do you know how to use it?" I asked.
"I had a French army instructor," she told me,
"and I managed to wing my governess from 50 yards with this revolver." "Oh, Dulcie, you are worse than Harriet," I laughed, despite or because of my misgivings, and she leaned towards me.
"That one is true," she murmured in my ear.
"I've been in contact with Mr. Chang at the Golden Dragon," Harriet announced, "and paid a retainer to keep his room free for a group of women, and told him we will be exploring the area first. If March's hunch is correct about that poor girl, Geraldine, the owner will have informed the attacker we are coming."
"I need to speak to you all," Marjorie boomed unexpectedly. "I have been giving this a lot of thought, and it seems to me we are being reckless. Anything could happen out there."
"I think we can all look after ourselves," Harriet said, with some justification, for she had saved my life once at great risk to her own.
"Well, I think we should leave this man to the police."
"He has been left to the police for heaven knows how long now," Sally told her with unexpected spirit. "How many other girls can he destroy before we stand up to him?"
Marjorie tightened her mouth.
"I am sorry, but I cannot be a part of such a foolhardy enterprise."
She tried but failed to stare me out. "You may toy with danger, Miss Middleton, but we are ladies and unused to such things. I am going to my home now, and I hope you all will have the sense to go to yours." And with that she brushed roughly past me and down the corridor, slamming the door after her.
"I knew she was unsound," Harriet said. "Where did she find that bonnet?"
I tried to smile.
"Well, that has ruined our scheme," I said ruefully, but also half relieved, for I had a nagging feeling that Marjorie was right.
"Why?" Dulcie demanded. "I know the plan was for me to be the bait, with two at each end of the alley, but you and Harriet can still work as a pair, and I have every faith in Sally if she does not mind working alone."
"I cannot allow that," I protested.
"I would prefer it," Sally insisted. "I was never happy being teamed with her. Much too jumpy. She would only have got in the way."
"We are better off without her," Harriet agreed. "She would have swooned the moment a man appeared on the horizon."
"If any of the rest of you would like to pull out now, I shall not blame you," I said, and we all looked at each other. "I have no right to ask anyone to endanger her life."
"You have no right to forbid us," Dulcie argued. "Not while there is a chance of putting a stop to this monster before he hurts another girl."
"I warned them that this might happen," Harriet told me, for she knew me better than anyone, "and we have talked about it."
She took my shoulders and held me in her gaze. "We are going to do this with or without you, March, though obviously we would feel much safer if you came."
"Getting cold feet?" Sally asked,
and I glanced at Baroness Warford glowering on the wall. Grycian, with her missing eye.
"Not I," I said. "Good."
Dulcie breezed over to the sideboard.
"Then that is settled."
And she poured 5 stiff brandies. Not my tipple, but I was never more glad to have one.